hearing is now open on Senate Bill 623. Is there anyone that wishes to testify?
We have it. That's the one.
Anyone that wishes to testify on Senate Bill 623?
We represented Crest was perhaps planning to attend our afternoon session.
We'll accommodate him in the afternoon then.
I may have misled you. I realize it's on this morning.
Yes, that's a dastardly act.
Okay, hearing is closed on Senate Bill 623. Might as well open our books. Senate Bill 1. Let's see. I think we've gotten through Amendment 10, haven't we?
We had talked about all the issues.
Okay.
Whether we had actually resolved.
No, we hadn't resolved.
No.
11.
Turn page, well, section 2, subsection 7 of your bill. The question is, deals with the definition of highway. And I think this is an amendment suggested by Mr. Wagner of the Forest Service. He's in the back of the room, and perhaps he can discuss his intent and his proposed amendment.
Okay, would you like to issue a one-minute statement regarding your intent on this amendment? It says, should size and weight limitations apply on Forest Service roads?
Yes, that's what we would like to see. We think this is too broad that it practically eliminates any of our system. Now, it's true, we do have some agreements, but in that this probably was provided for. But in checking through these, I find only about four that are left. And one of those is phasing out next year. So there just really isn't much reason for it anymore. Those particular types of exceptions, we plan to take care of as federal regulations.
Okay, how much do we have to
His amendment would suggest deleting after the word vehicles on line 24, the rest of that subsection.
No, following private ownership. I think, isn't that...
Okay, you want to retain private ownership roads.
No, right. I think that that kind of exception was in 10 words.
26.
Right.
Word ownership, then delete road or thoroughfare other than a state highway or county road used in suing an agreement with an agency of the United States or with a licensee of the specification.
So after the word ownership, we're going to delete everything.
Mm-hmm. Then the size and weight restrictions would apply on those Forest Service roads.
The normal state size and weight limitations would apply.
Could they apply now by agreement? Is that what I understand?
No, they are accepted where there are agreements. Now, the thing is, we have so many different kinds of agreements. You can interpret any contract or any permit to be an agreement. See, what I think what this was probably aimed at were these shared type of agreements that we have with private owners. But these are practically all gone now. We have very few of them left. And we will take care of those by federal regulation, which in turn would be provided an exception under Section 3A now, where there is a special federal regulation for exceptions to the code. That is provided for now in Section 3A. So we think these can be handled in the same manner as any other exception.
The
deletion of the language after the term private ownership, I'm not sure if that does what he wants to do. Wouldn't just deleting except that is using those provisions relating to size and weight restrictions on vehicles, deleting that language be sufficient? Isn't that really what we mean? To make these size and weight limitations apply to federal roads?
I don't see why we want the size and weight limitations to apply to federal roads.
But sounds like representatives of the agencies that have jurisdiction over the roads request that.
I understand that, but I think that's their job, not ours.
We can't do it by rule.
So we wish to use the same limitation.
I mean, if Stoltz is a gypo out there in Drain and gets a contract with you people of some sort, you ought to be able to not have to go to the highway division or somewhere else and let him haul overweight loads if you want to.
Do you have rulemaking authority?
Yes. We have, under our own regulations, we have such rulemaking authority. Now, in our own regulation, this is the Department of Agriculture, so it just revised last August 31, and there is a specific rule in there that provides for us using each state's size and weight. Very specific. Okay, so we are handling that as a matter of federal regulation. However, we do not wish to prevent any exercise of the state's authority on our system also. And we did have a cooperative effort last spring, in fact just about a year ago, in a particular place involving both the state and the county with us. And they took it to district court and they threw it out because of this acceptance.
Wayne, do you know what the policy of the Bureau of Land Management is?
Right now, their policy is practically nothing. They are trying to get established their enabling authority. They're trying to pull all that together in one hand. So they just are not too concerned right now.
I would oppose the amendment.
I have discussed these with all the other agencies. And as far as, like I said, BLM is practically no concern. The Corps of Engineers and the Bureau of Fish and Wildlife, they acquiesce in these very same things. In fact, their enabling acts are very similar to ours.
Can I ask what the practical implications are of what you're suggesting? Is there some enforcement power that you would not possess? It would leave you out, that you would possess if we put you in.
No, none whatsoever. All we wish to have is to not negate the authority of these states nor counties in any cooperative effort or where they wish to come in and enforce on our system. They are effectively prevented from doing so. Like I said, they tried this one, it was just about a year ago, and they threw it out.
Was that on the basis of a constitutional problem, the federal enclave argument?
No, it is on the basis of not having the authority in the vehicle code. That's as I understood it. Now, in answer to Mr. Clint Dale, he's aware of the same of what happened there.
So what you're saying is a guy could be going 70 miles an hour down a dusty Forest Service road and the county sheriff couldn't arrest him because it's not a highway. Is that the kind of problem you're looking at?
That would
apply. Wait.
Let me ask a question of the council here. Let's assume that you have a road which is Representative Frohnmayer owns, but the county maintains. Is that a highway?
The county maintains it. It's not intended for the use of the general public for vehicles. Even though it's not part of the county road system, if it's open for use for the general public for vehicles,
we also have the authority to help raise the level of enforcement activities by some financing to law enforcement agencies. Right now, we do have 9 cooperative agreements with 19 counties in this state. So it's not to enforce federal regulation, it is to enforce state and county regulation. 19 different counties already. Now, this is just one more of those things that we would like to see clear.
The weight regulations are intended to protect the road system from damage. I assume that's the only reason. If it isn't a county or state highway, and the federals don't have any regulation on it, I don't see where the state or county should be getting involved.
I think, what happens if presently a county sheriff stops a person for size or weight violations? If this were the law as it is, there would be no jurisdiction in there, right? I mean, he wouldn't be able to. State or the county wouldn't have the jurisdiction. Even pursuant to an agreement, isn't that right?
Trying to encourage enforcement, that defendant, he wants the agency to enforce it, because he gets someone fined on it, and he wants to defend the state's jurisdiction, so he can decide in the state court for the fines of the bite.
Okay. If there's a violation in those areas where you've adopted a rule, which is consistent with the state, where does the person go to court?
You're saying the rule of ours,
yeah.
Federal regulation?
Mm-hmm.
Initially, to the United States Magistrate, and then, of course, if they so desire, then the Federal District Court. For any federal rule, though, initially, they go to the U.S. Magistrate.
I move the amendment.
Because of the BLM situation.
No,
they aren't interested in it. I'm
okay.
Not interested in it.
I just want to get us on this.
The motion is not in order. Overtake Amendment 12. Overtaking and passing of school buses. Section 71.
Yeah, that amendment, Mr. Chairman, was suggested by Jack here. He's also here this morning.
Okay.
He has given testimony this amendment at one time. The committee. The statute now requires a vehicle to stop when a school bus turns on its flashing red light. And the school bus driver has to turn his flashing red lights on 200 feet before he comes to a stop. He has a situation where the bus is approaching you and the lights are on, you stop, and the bus passes your vehicle as it stops. I think that's one of the problems Mr. Spear tried to address. His suggested amendment, maybe he'd like to try to explain it to you.
Okay.
That amendment is in your book.
About the Jack's there.
21st or 22nd page in from the
end of the proposal.
Why don't you just tell us in general terms what your amendment does?
All right. I might say one thing on the old one that was turned in. There was a typographical error. Just prior to the first bracketing there should be the word stop. I do have a correction there if you're interested. Basically, I feel there's still some misunderstanding here on that word or stopping. By leaving the words or stopping in this provision, which is describes the duties for the motorist approaching or overtaking a school bus, will eliminate the warning for oncoming vehicles, which is provided under present law and regulation. Basically, what we're trying to do here, I think, is still have the provision for the warning for school buses, worker buses, that turn lights on in advance of a stop. We will, in school buses, after September 1, '76, take care of this through the addition of amber lights. However, there will not be this addition, I don't think, at the present, on worker buses or possibly some of the private school buses. So we feel this should be taken out. What I'm going to say, what it basically does is eliminate the warning period prior to the stop for the cars approaching the school bus in the opposite direction from which the school bus is traveling. I think I have explained this since our last hearing here to a group of about 180 drivers, and also a week ago Saturday to the Oregon School Bus Contractors Association, and I believe you have a letter that they wrote
supporting this amendment, and Ed Hughes is here also, and he'll testify to that, I'm sure. They each have a copy of this, Ed. Questions. I might say the ore staffing provision, which is in section 273, back on page 159, is certainly necessary in that section, not in this first section.
We in work session, Mr. Chairman. I've moved the adoption of the amendments. We've been over them a couple of times. I think they
Jack, you and I discussed it the other day, and
yes.
We marked in my book where that what you did. You say now this morning that you have the bill there on line 9, section 271. Page 30.
Yes, right.
Second. Is that stop supposed to be included in the amendment there on line 9?
No, just the or staffing is the bracketed part out.
Okay.
I did, in the first amendment that I passed out here, the word staff was missing just prior to the first bracket.
Oh, I see.
No, just the two words, or staffing. Actually, we need the staff in there.
And then again, on line 14, or staffing would be taken out.
Yes. I believe also there was on their amendment here asked that B be taken completely out, and of course the provision there is that this would give one opportunity for motorists to pass a stop school bus with the flashing red lights on, and why give them even one? It actually is in conflict with section 273 where it says the red lights shall not be used if they're off the roadway. They're making a stop off of the roadway.
If they are stopping off the roadway and the red lights are flashing, in violation of 273, the driver would stop anyway.
Yes, if the lights were on, however, it does say here, I don't think they would be in violation.
No, because
the
bus would
not be stopped on the roadway.
On a highway.
Yeah. And we get back to the definition of highway.
Yeah.
<That's> right.
I move the adoption of the amendments deleting or stopped on line 9 and 10, or stopping on line 10, or stopping on line 14, and the deletion of sub B of subsection 2 of section 71.
Well, it sounds like 273. Yeah.
And also on a highway, it really conflicts with the sub 1 of 71.
You should combine A with 2 and not have an A.
We'll do.
Is there anybody that objects to that amendment? All right, so ordered.
Thank you.
Now, what have we done about the basic rule?
What have we done?
Taking care of those amendments that girl from Morgan State has to conform with the bill we already passed. Is there anybody that wants to raise the basic speed from 55 to 60?
It's already 60, isn't it here?
No,
55.
Is it? No. I'm looking at it.
What are you looking at?
Oh. Looking at page 39,
we did away with the basic rule, didn't we, in that one bill we passed.
I think the basic rule should apply to trucks, too.
There is.
That's the next question.
Well, what is the status at the present time? To comply with the federal rules, we've got a speed limit rather than basic rule.
We have an absolute limit now. We passed the bill.
Was out.
Oh, it was, but we passed the bill.
Did
put it back in, and the governor signed it.
No. No, that's the status of 55 mile an hour.
Yeah,
of 55.
This session.
Yeah.
What are the federal rates say?
In your.
What? Do we have a letter from
in your material?
You
can start.
You remember what we did?
You have a letter.
House Bill 3219 has been signed by the governor. and takes the self-destruct clause, the expiration, out of House Bill 3306 passed during the special session, which sets a 55 maximum speed limit.
Okay.
So in fact, we have an indefinite 55 maximum speed limit. It's 43.103.
Right. Why don't we put a repealer on that one?
Now, what is, I still want to know what, if anything, by federal law or regulation we now are forced to abide by.
Mr. George, can you tell us anything?
Any material,
Mr. George,
members of the committee, any material is a letter from the federal government, which in essence says the basic rule approach of Oregon is acceptable to the federal government at a requirement of 55 on our maximum speed.
Can we go higher than 55?
No.
Why not?
Because the federal law sets the speed.
So how can we let motor trucks go 60 miles an hour?
Well, there is an amendment. That's what we're on right now. Number 13 would turn the motor truck speed to 55 miles
an hour. How many commuters do we have on the freeway here that motor trucks pass them when they're doing 62?
I think we ought to just uniformly raise to 60.
I don't think there's that much trouble now.
Are you saying... I can't find the letter. Are you saying that the federal government says the basic speed rule is all right so long as the
top speed
so
is
55?
Is the designated.
Prima facie evidence of...
Yes.
Doesn't say that.
Okay, I want to find it.
You can read the letter here.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
How far in is it?
About that far in. What's the title on it? Oh, it's got U.S. government up the top and in the left. Memorandum.
Okay. Sure, I need to help with staff to take over this number of these pages consecutively in the book.
I've done it in my book.
I got it. What page are you on?
U.S. Department of Transportation. I'm going to find the graph
on the paper.
Tom, if you can find those graphs, go to that part of the book that jail sentences on Tractate in Chicago.
Mr. Chairman?
Hang on, let's go forward.
No, I'm afraid 55 is the upper limit.
We got one more after.
David Wells.
You read the last paragraph. I think I'm right. I think it says 55.
That's correct. 55 is the one we have to.
I think what's important that the bill is passed, 3219, stipulates that the provisions of the basic rule do not apply. So as long as 3219 is effective, but no change made in the basic rule would affect the maximum speed limit.
No, it's just going to combine OC and OSU, issue Representative Marks.
Okay, thank you. There.
Okay, then my motion will have to be a little differently.
Excuse me, can I make sure that we're all looking at the same thing now?
Yeah.
The HCC-20 signed by David E. Wells?
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to move an amendment that it gets adopted at 15,500 enrollments. Can you tell me how the blood alcohol level is now? 0.10 between 0.10 and 0.15.
That's the law?
Yeah.
0.10 is presumption that you are driving all the means.
Okay.
Is there a lower figure?
About
0.05?
55 miles an hour.
Maybe
tell me what
maybe
the level of proof is.
55 right now?
Yeah, a basic rule. Basic rule.
The prosecutor's going to prove that you were traveling in excess of 55, which is designated speed. That's prima facie evidence.
You could rest there, and if there's no other testimony, you could be convicted.
That's right.
Are there any presumptions?
Well, that is
that's it.
A prima facie amount of presumption.
$2 for each mile over, standing alone and unregarded by particular standing.
Okay, then what we should do is make 155 and 65. We're returning to basic rule.
I'm not sure that's what this letter says.
No,
it doesn't say that.
It says if you have 55 miles an hour and you have different levels of proof above that, you're all right.
No, not what it says. Yeah. Not what it says at all. It says you still got 55. It's only
just
the evidentiary effect of exceeding 55 that is
it. Says, I believe the proper rule is that a statute which empowers the state to bring a legal proceeding against a driver who exceeds 55 miles per hour with a view to punishing his past violation, influencing his future behavior, deterring others from like conduct, meets the requirement.
Yeah, but you still have to peg it at 55. It's only that the evidentiary impact is what's being
proven. You peg the basic rule at 55.
That's right.
Okay.
And it's up to the cop and the court how much
so
you're
exceeding
that.
So what I'm suggesting is between 55 and 65, that 55 is not a prima facie case.
No, I don't think you can do that. 55 has to
settle.
It's got to
be a prima
facie case
to be informed.
Doesn't have to
be concluded. See what the federal law
is. I think the way the bill is now is the most we can do. That's right.
Okay, then it's
how fast you
want to
go?
Fly the truck.
Truck. We have an amendment that would return trucks to the 55 maximum speed, and presumably the bill describes a particular penalty for exceeding 55 miles an hour, and a basic rule would apply to trucks only if they're going under 55.
Okay, does the basic rule under the bill without amendment apply to trucks?
What is the Section 106 project in the United States Code? Is that highway funds? So if we don't peg our speed limit by the federal maximum, we're going to get zapped with our highway funds.
Can we treat trucks differently? Even under a basic rule approach, a designated speed of 60 miles an hour for trucks would be improper.
Yes.
Move the adoption of the amendment.
What is the amendment?
To return trucks to 55.
The amendment would set the
ball there.
We're going to lose the
highway. I invite you to read Public Law 93643, Section 154A.
I am tired of the federal government.
You may be tired. Are you going to be tired of having no highways up in Class
No, I wouldn't be.
All right. Frank Choice.
What the federal government has done to us under this guise of dictating where our... First they dictate what we've got to do to get the dollars, then they dictate how we spend them. And they tie the hands of our highway department out here.
You've got
and
7
they make
committee
them,
votes for that proposition.
And they
That's
make ridiculous
relevant.
Decisions. And it's time we quit just having the federal government tell us what to do in every area, David.
I understand that. The committee agrees with you.
You know... The pressing need here is secondary roads. And so they make us change all the overpasses on this freeway out here. And they give us no money for secondary
roads. See if they really will cut off our money.
Well, that's a great Russian roulette.
They might.
I don't think so.
I got no desire
to
come back.
Where does it tell us, Dave, that trucks have to have a maximum speed?
You can always move it back.
Right behind the Wells letter, Dick, under the Uniform National Speed Limit, the subtitle in the reprint of Public Law 93643, Section 154, National Maximum Speed Limit, the Secretary of Transportation shall not approve any project under Section 106.
That's the highway funds section, I'm told.
In any state which has, one, a maximum speed limit on any public highway within its jurisdiction in excess of 50 miles per hour.
Or a speed limit on any other portion within its jurisdiction which is not
uniformly, applicable to all kinds of motor vehicles.
Okay, that's very simple. We expand the definition of car.
To
under the Oregon Motor Vehicle Code to include a truck.
No, that won't do it.
No.
As used in this section, the term motor vehicle means any vehicle driven or drawn by mechanical power manufactured primarily for use in public highways, etc.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to get around that definition.
Okay, that, you're saying there that this letter is wrong.
No, I'm not. The letter's great.
Okay.
You know, what you can do if you really want to let trucks go faster than 55 is make it a little easier on them in court by virtue of...
Put them under the basic rule.
Your basic rule tops out at 55.
No.
That's not correct.
Practically, it is.
No, the problem I'm having is that 60 get an SE world.
It was originally drawn at 55, and then the interim committee at the very end of it pushed it up to 60, and the 60 only applies if they were a maximum or a designated base school above 55. So this didn't really allow 60, and that's the 55 federal went off.
Right.
This was done quite a while ago. And then the 55.
Okay, then I've got a suggested compromise. I believe we're 55 miles an hour applying to non-interstate roads, and in the case of interstate roads, we apply 70 miles an hour.
Nope, on any public highway within its jurisdiction.
No, Mary, I, where do you get that last statement in the way the bill is written currently? That it only applies, it goes off if in fact the, the 60 mile an hour speed limit is only applicable if the federal maximum was changed. Now, I don't read that in there.
The way it is written, if the state speed control board were to set a different speed on a highway, and they all are set at 55 now, then 60 will not apply. These sections that are referred to, 74, 76, 78, bring in the...
We haven't
I don't think anything can do. I don't think anything can do.
You can make it.
If it was 7,
okay, we can set a maximum speed. We're required by the Court of Appeals. Stay the execution of any fine between 55 and 65.
Marion, then I would take it your position is the way the gross bill is presently written is sufficient.
It's sufficient to comply with the 55.
That's right.
Yes.
On the trucks.
Yes.
Because the statement in here that the 60 is only applicable, in fact, if the federal law changes.
Yeah, it really doesn't make a difference.
Is that right? I see what it's not
really is
back
because
74, 76, and 78
yeah.
to get the truth.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
I just
yeah.
read those and I see it.
But the amendment for 55 really would clean it up, I think.
You just drop that section out of the bill.
And insert the 55 maximum speed amendment, or at least the committee that wishes. The truckers and those groups related to trucks and their interests felt the maximum was suitable for trucks.
You're wrong about the mandatory requirement for trucks. We can still have trucks higher if you read on in that U.S. code. Because we had a different speed, a different designation on November 1, 1973.
Did the Senate Judiciary Committee have the letter from Mr. Wells before it? Did they read that? No, they did not have that letter.
75 date on April
19th. Wells just says the basic rule is all right. And you're wrong about the requirement to have the same speed for trucks. Read right on here.
Where I don't see where you say it's wrong.
Is anybody here from the state police?
Captain Williams, he just left to get a copy of House Bill 3219.
I guess that gets more of an enforcement problem, I see it. If you're going to have trucks going 60 and automobiles going 55.
I couldn't agree with you more, but I think it is ridiculous out here to consider 55 on this freeway. You're building it to six lanes, is that what we're building it from 7 now? And you're going to put 55 mile an hour speed limit on it. And it's ridiculous. We'd just as well leave it two lanes and not get the federal money.
Didn't we take care of that, though?
Probably would have.
I just want to get in front of this so I can see.
Well, this letter, I believe, says we can put the basic rule back in.
I think it says that. But I think it says it has to be uniform. It has to be 55.
I agree with your interpretation of the letter. You said you put the basic rule back in. Correct. But we have been told verbally, and we also interpret the letter in the law, the 93-64, to mean that the same speed must apply to all motors ever on the public highway. Trucks, cars, buses, regardless of the type.
Okay. Now, what can we do to circumvent federal requirement to get the speed back to 70 on freeways?
Well, I think we've done as much as we can. We adopt a prima facie approach and we have a special violation.
We'll send a letter to Washington telling that Oregon succeeded from the Union. We're going to establish our own.
In the case of between 55 and 70, we could have the...
Oh, you put a budget note in the state police budget.
Well, we have already said...
Tell them if they enforce one less than...
The bill, if we pass it, differentiates between the so-called energy conservation speed and the... Forget the other language that's used.
Bonita knows that.
As I understand it, House Bill 3219 merely says that in the event that an individual violates the maximum speed, which we're now calling energy conservation speed, at the same time is not deemed to be in violation of the basic rule, that citation will not appear in a traffic record. She shakes her head no.
There is no violation in a basic rule in excess of 55 miles per hour.
Under 3219.
Any speed, whether it's 70, 80, 85, simply written now as exceeding maximum speed.
We're trying to do something.
What 3219 said was that any speed conviction for exceeding the maximum speed under the energy conservation bill will mean that we cannot suspend your license on that basis. And on the certified driving record that is sent out, that speed will not show. But in effect, there is going to, I think if you look at 43-103, I think there has been Attorney General's opinions on this, too, and they might correct me on that, but that there is no speed violation above 55 that's written as anything other than exceeding maximum speed. Below 55 is written as violation of the basic rule.
You're talking about present law?
Yes.
You're not talking about Senate Bill 1. If Senate Bill 1 passes...
Senate Bill 1 passes, it still doesn't amend 43-103, right?
Here it is. There are only three amendments. 43-103.
There aren't any amendments to
43-103
in this bill here.
Okay, what did 3219 do
to this
from a practical standpoint?
It did three things. It took the repealer section out, the self-destruct. It
continued the 55-mile speed.
Continues the 55 indefinitely. It put in the provision that violation of this 55 cannot be used by insurance companies to jack your insurance rates up.
What if you're going 110?
No provision for that.
They can't jack
unless
your...
Unless they make a different charge.
Have to be convicted of reckless driving.
Right. The other thing they did was say that you couldn't have your license suspended wholly on the basis of a 55 citation.
All right.
What if you got 655 citations?
No. Get out the tag thing. Yeah.
That was a bad bill.
Yeah, pretty good.
Why don't we reveal that thing?
Now, what's going to happen then? When you send us this letter that says you've got three, if you get any more, we're going to correct. You're not going to be able to do that anymore.
You're not going to get that kind of a letter as a result of House Bill 3219.
Right.
We're looking at the possibility because some of the committees and consider that bill, so we shouldn't ignore it completely, of another kind of a letter that you got X number of exceeding maximum speeds within any 12-month period, and, you know, point out how important it is to save gasoline and this sort of thing, but it wouldn't relate to your driver improvement program.
Can we make this retroactive?
No.
One else. For the committee.
How did that get by us?
Didn't come to
a reasonable bill.
For the committee. Ordinance 483-103, a maximum speed limit set shall not be subject to the provisions of ORS 43-102 except for a special hazard or condition exists that requires a lower speed for compliance with 43-102, which is the basic rule. And I think as that sentence has been interpreted, or when it was originally drafted, the intent was to have basic rule apply below 55 and not apply above 55. We have not, Senate Bill 1, amended 43-103. House Bill 3219 is not amended 403-103, so 403-103 is still going to be law, and basic rule will not apply above 55. If you're traveling,
it'll apply to a situation where the highway is icy or something that's hard.
That is right. If you're going 65 miles an hour, you, as the captain has said and as Vanita has said, you cannot be cited for violation of basic rule. The only citation you can get is for violation of maximum speed, and by virtue of House Bill 3219, then that citation will not be part of your vehicle driving record, and you cannot have you won't have your license suspended for
it's reported
on that basis.
It's part of the record, but no conviction, no suspensions, and no certification on the action.
Well, so, but now the arresting officer can only arrest you for exceeding maximum speed?
That's right.
What if you're exceeding it? What if you're going 90?
Maximum speed.
That's all
you
can say.
And the guy
on
the bench
says he's the speed. Okay, then, you're not willing to accept Wells' letter as being correct, David.
Yeah, you know, barring anything else.
If correct, we're going to cover another problem. Something may have to be done before the 3-1-3.
Okay, the thing I think we ought to do is say that the intent of the Oregon legislature, right out in first place of Senate Bill 1, in regard to all speed regulations, is to view these regulations as punishing past violations, influencing future behavior, or deterring others from like conduct. That's the intent of the bill. And then put the basic rule back in. And apply it uniformly to trucks and cars.
They've got to have 55 in there.
We got it. This guy says, I believe the proper rule is that a statute which empowers the state to bring a legal proceeding against a driver who exceeds 55 miles per hour with a view to punishing his past violation, influencing his future behavior, or deterring others from like conduct meets the requirement of maximum speed limit.
55 stays in.
Leave 55 in, but you say basic rule applies above that.
What you want to do, reinsert
right now, well, you got a maximum speed limit, you get a ticket for 55. If you're 56 miles an hour, most of these JPs down in the country are saying you're guilty. There's nothing I can do. Okay? You put the basic rule back in. If you're going 70 and the JP says, fine, you're not violating the basic rule, you're all right. I mean, I think you've got to be, this 55 maximum thing is, you know, just plain ridiculous.
Doug, looking at the way that since the A in Grossberg is SB1, you got section 73 still in, 74. Do you want to reinsert section 75?
Section 75, okay, that's the primary basic defense.
75.
Affirmative defense?
Yes. That provision, it says it is an affirmative defense to the offense of speeding and having due regard to the traffic safety, traffic weather, visibility, highway, other conditions in existence, speed at which the person is driving is reasonable proof.
I think that was pertinent when the bill was first drafted, because it had maximum speed in the printed Senate bill.
It's kind of halfway between a maximum speed
and
law
and
a
maximum
basic
speed,
rule.
You had an affirmative defense. Now you've gone back to the old system where you've got the basic rule and the burdens on the state to show a prima facie case and use it on as a defense and bring in evidence that would
rebut that, but you don't, it's not your burden to carry that.
Okay.
The burden is still on the state.
Is there anything, any way we can differentiate between 55 and 70 on freeways?
I don't think so. That does not
lay down a designated speed.
We have to rely on the enforcement agency.
Aren't the statutes differentiating really? Can't that be 70 to bring you a fine?
Here's what we could do. We could say between 55 and 70 that the state can bring a legal proceeding against the driver, and the penalty provision shall be receipt of a letter from the Department of Motor Vehicles suggesting that you slow down to 55 to conserve fuel. I mean, that would fall under this guy's view toward punishing a past violation, influencing future behavior, or deterring others from like conduct.
Pretty broad interpretation of punishment.
Oh, it's no broader an interpretation of the punishing than what you've got in 3219. I mean, to face it.
Fine.
Okay, but the fine doesn't mean anything. Maybe what you've done in 3219 is enough, and maybe we should just adopt those provisions in this bill, because frankly, the fine doesn't mean anything. The provision that's of concern is when they send you that letter and tell you that, you know,
it's taken care of.
In 30 days.
Taken care of.
Let's adopt 3219 into here then.
I think there is something in the federal rules about a two-tier penalty system.
Or we could set the fine. Now, that's another thing we could do. If you're worried about a fine, let's say the maximum fine between 55 and 70 on freeways shall be $5.
That's what 3219 started out to do.
Is there anybody here that disagrees, that believes 70 is too fast a speed on the freeway?
From an energy conservation standpoint, it is. And I think we ought to stick them, dollar-wise. I don't have any problem with not suspending. We're adding that on the record that can lead to suspension. But it's way too fast for energy conservation.
Is there anybody else that agrees with representing
my
I think the court should have some discretion in connecting fine situations.
First of all, you never get picked up for going
less than 68.
Eight.
Operating limit is 62.
What's your average ticket?
The majority of them are written for over 65.
Majority of them are written for over 65. What do you think the median is about?
Oh, probably around 67.
I think the enforcement has been realistic and we can stand all the problems. I really do.
Yeah, are we happy that 3219 will at least correct the driver's license?
I think it does. Correct your driver's license
paragraph. Right.
Which I think is completely. I think that's ridiculous. If you're going, if you get six tickets for going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I think that's too easy. Don't you? You got to get more than just a polite letter.
You're going to get charged with something besides speeding at 100 miles an hour.
Why?
Why?
Because you're in the dangerous driving danger.
Let's say 80. Six tickets
is
80.
True.
You haven't got six yet, Dick. You've only got one or two.
Come along, you until
county. You were telling county heard about that. Wasn't about anything to
do. I would again move the adoption of the amendment 55 trucks.
Will the basic rule apply to trucks?
Yeah.
If we adopt the Myers Amendment?
The basic rule isn't going to apply to anything above 55 miles an hour.
Okay, then I won't accept the amendment.
The amendment is going to change that status. Already.
How do I get the basic rule back in? The federal government says we can put the basic rule back in. Is that 3219? Okay.
3219 says that the maximum absolute 55 top speed limit.
It's really not in 3219, it's in the present law, ORS 483-103. There's a sentence in there that says that the basic rule shall not apply when you're exceeding 55 miles an hour. If you want the basic rule to apply above 55, you can delete that sentence from ORS 483-103.
I think the basic rule should apply. What do you do from a practical standpoint, Judge Schwab, when the guy's got a ticket out here on the freeway for going 67 and he appeals it to your court?
He hasn't, Jeff. I doubt if he's ever gotten that much of a fine. And as long as there's no record that's going to affect his driver's license, he gets a $10 fine or whatever it is, and I doubt very much if it doesn't affect his insurance.
Okay, then.
If he doesn't appeal it now, if he does, you see cases where a fellow is going 70 miles an hour in a situation where he's playing dangerous. Then you've got a wholly different thing. You've got to charge not of speed, but of reckless driving.
Okay, what's going to come out on Representative Frohnmeyer's rap sheet out at the Department of Motor Vehicles? He's got six, he commutes from Eugene, and he's got six tickets during the legislative session.
The easy answer to that is I wouldn't have gotten a ticket.
No, that's not true. They can issue you a citation, but they just can't throw you in jail till the session's over. I'm the JP up in Clatskanie, and he gets another ticket. Am I going to read on that one was for 76 and one for 78 and one for 85? Okay, then how is that arresting officer, when he arrests Representative Frohnmeyer the seventh time for going 90, how is he going to recognize that this is the seventh time that he went 90?
I don't think it's the arresting officer.
Okay, how's the JP? How am I as JP up there going to know that this is the seventh time he went 90?
Facetiously, some suggestion has been that the officer put a little X up in the left-hand corner of the citation. A little code for the court. Years ago, I understand that was done. The judge wanted that. He said, if some guy gives you a bad time, a little X up in the corner, I'll take care of it.
Do you believe that going 80 miles an hour? Okay, now maybe I should ask the question a different way. I personally don't think 80 is too fast a speed, or 85 on the freeway. Do the traffic safety people believe 85 is too fast a speed?
Under present conditions, yes, sir.
Non-construction.
With the average speed at just around 60 miles an hour.
Okay. Face it, the only deterrent you have to the confirmed speeder is your license revocation provisions. I mean, the guy that's trying to get from Portland to Salem in a hurry, face it, $25 or $50 isn't going to make one bit of difference to him.
3219 did that. And certainly traffic safety people wouldn't have been in approval of that.
Well, I guess the best I can get then is 3219 across.
And all this amendment we're talking about does for the highway department is to clean up the present basic rule to conform.
I have one client that I represent that has a ranch in Idaho and one in Oregon. On the coast and one in Idaho, okay? He makes a trip about every week and he goes 100 miles an hour all the way. He's happy to pay all the tickets you want to give him. Couldn't care less, but you know, each time he gets enough, so he's in trouble. You know, we have to spend our time postponing his trial for a while and so forth. So, you know, the guy that goes 100, the deterrent is the Department of Motor Vehicles.
He's going 100.
Oh, you go out here on the highway, maybe it isn't too fast. You're from over there, Joe. I'm not sure 100 is too fast on.
Yeah, I bought it for 900 bucks. Prosecution for 100, but if they really would go 100, just the court comes under the condition that they're not buying any basic with. But I have to admit, I'm not sure why. There's no traffic in there. good visibility and good tires and good guards.
I'll give you the basic rule of thumb.
But I brought
55 if you give me 32.19.
What? You want 32.19?
Really, there isn't much of a trade-off there.
I think 32.19 is
bad. I think if a guy's going 80, that ought to be relevant to whether or not his license is jerked.
Yeah, but your problem is practical, Dave.
Have you ever looked at one of these rap sheets
that they give you from the Department of Motor Vehicles? They're difficult to read at best. Well, I'm willing to accept 32.19 because for practical purposes, that'll win.
Driving 80 down the 12, you know, when that's busy for it, it's going to be a dangerous driving charge if a policeman has any sense. Driving 80 between Baker and the border, you know, nobody on there is going to be with speed charge. So I think it's going to depend on the circumstances. Is the only answer.
The only point of discussion you have is whether you want the violation of speed to count for the individual suspension of a driver's license, because the penalty prescribed for violation of basic rule and for exceeding the maximum speed limit of 55 is maximum fine of $100 in this situation. Unless you get to a speed where you are into a different crime category.
Well, then you get to the question of the philosophy of taking away driver's license. Do you use driver's licenses as means of enforcing energy laws, sex laws, everything else, or do you use driver's license only with regard to people who are dangerous drivers?
That's the issue you have.
Okay, fine. I'm willing to accept your compromise, Representative Drumeyer, subject to a review of the definition of dangerous driving.
I'm not sure I'm willing to make my compromise anymore. I think we've just wasted that 20 minutes.
What
is it that you want, Dick? You want the basic rule to apply to all vehicles, right?
I think the basic rule ought to apply to all vehicles.
Okay. I've got no problem with that.
If you do that, my suggestion was that above 55 wouldn't just be a little energy conservation ticket, that it might need the suspension of your license if you get going very fast.
I think we ought to repeal the provisions in 32.19 to say that they just get a polite letter after. the part of it that
there's nothing in the bill that speaks to what we shall do, other than say we shall not suspend a license solely on the basis of the human conservation conditions. Now, we're solely.
Well, I don't care. Leave the basic rule out for 55 maximum and put that thing in because it has the same practical effects.
All right, let's move on. Drop trucks down to 55, conform it, move on.
And then 32.19, there's nothing you can do
days.
To suspend the operator's license for violation of the maximum speed.
Solely. Is it a single conservation ticket or a number? I forgot.
I think it says solely on the basis of conviction.
The division shall, in no event shall a division suspend or revoke a license on the ground that such person has incurred one or more convictions of a violation of subsection 2 or 43103. There's a maximum speed provision.
What if he has five of those and then he gets one for going
75? No, that's still the same thing.
It's going to be a violation of maximum speed.
Got it resolved.
Oh, and the intent of the legislature is that Captain Williams' people recognize that we truly believe that the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit is ridiculous, that we are coerced by the federal government into adopting
it. I would state my legislative intent differently, Mr. Chairman.
Next,
so the
next issue.
Reflect on unanimity.
Propose Amendment 13 to lower the set the uniform speed to 5 for both trucks and passenger vehicles. Although, as Marion sits back in the chair, I can see that it really isn't necessary for you to adopt that.
Not necessary, let's not do it. We should preface this bill by saying anything else the federal government wants us to do, we're willing to do. Anything that's law now and anything that they do in the future. Okay. Okay, stopping and standing on roadways, section 95.
Chairman, I have to address the problem of fuel burning in 5 minutes.
Okay, we'll adjourn in 5 minutes. How are you going to vote on it?
You're not doing fuel burning for a second either. I got to go to the state then. Or not state then. Bang, bang.
It was noted.
Okay, stopping, standing, and parking. What's the suggested amendment here? Are you going to be able to hitchhike on the shoulder of the road?
On either side.
What's the amendment to this section?
The amendment would add, turn to page 45 of the invoice.
What's your answer to his question?
Oh, you can hitchhike on the shoulder under Senate Bill 1.
Page 45, line 3, the amendment would add the word stop after who, the word stop after the word to in line 5, the words stopping, standing, or after the word unlawfully on line 8.
Excuse me, what are you doing on line 8?
After unlawfully add stopping, comma, standing, or. Mm-hmm. We'll then make it a infraction for a person to stop as well as park or leave standing to be a home unattended.
Whose amendments for those?
Whose amendments are they? Their
amendments. I move amendments. Whose amendments are they?
Motor vehicle.
Actually, that means you can't stop on the highway.
Roadway. How do you define roadway?
The travel portion.
Includes the shoulder.
That wouldn't inadvertently.
What offense is there comparable to that now?
Stopping, well, we call it parking now. Parking includes stopping, and it was, for some reason or other, it was just left out here, I think. Mary?
This does not, of course, relate to an emergency situation proceeding along the line of traffic.
Says when it is practicable to park or leave.
So I assume a guy who's just been in a head-on, all the people that stopped behind him are not covered by this.
Right. Yeah, if you've ever been on one of these two-lane roads where they have a swimming hole and the cars all drop alongside and pretty soon they're out on the roadway, if you don't have this section in here, we can't control them. They haven't committed a violation.
The outside of the fog line
parking,
off the highway.
They're parking, they have.
Yes.
On the exception of the parking
line is a
exception
spot.
Is here that while picking up or discharging passengers, so the guy says, well, I just went down to get a passenger that's down there swimming. And where's timing without having a specific section here, which is actually in the law. I think it was just the word left out.
On line 18, page 45, what does the word stand mean?
Might be a motorcycle, you stand it?
Horse?
Page 5 has a definition of stand or standing.
You're sitting there not moving.
Holding of a vehicle, whether occupied or not otherwise, and temporarily for the purpose of and while actually engaged in receiving a discharge of passengers.
Yeah, that's the escape route that they have. To stand, they can always say that. Stop. They can say no. I didn't stop because there's nothing in the law now saying stop. Just standing, and they can stand if they're there for the purpose of picking up or discharging the passenger. So no way could you get a conviction, Joe. Unless you get stopping him.
Okay.
Present law has it, and UBC has it. It was just left out.
And stop him. Okay, there's no objection. Okay, let's take care of those motorcycle amendments. Is there any objection to those?
Which,
wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. Undoubtedly.
Probably not.
Look at it for hopefully.
Where are they, guys?
Move in about the middle of the package amendment. About the 26th page in.
Who's amendment
They're suggested by by the Oregon Motorcycle Dealers Association.
Not a self-interest group. A one-page version?
Right. We have adopted one of those amendments already. That's the deletion of the requirement of an eye protective device. The other amendments were discussed by Representative Drew Davis, but they were not acted
on. Are they before or after all these articles on drunk driving and jail?
Which one has been adopted?
The amendment that starts on page 52, section 118.
Objection to these amendments?
I think so.
Do you object, Representative Martin?
Yeah, I'd like to hear from the highway people.
I want to go through each amendment.
Okay.
I think Ed's here anyway. These are your amendments? We go through each one.
Okay, would you like to take us through each amendment? Representative Stultz is excused and the jurisdiction of the committee is extended to the Trade and Economic Development Group.
That's a long one.
How do you vote on
it? Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Ed Hughes, Oregon Motorcycle Dealers Association. We submitted these amendments and then Drew Davis, Representative Davis, requested these from us. He came in and talked about them at his request. I see no major problems with these amendments. And,
can you tell us what you...
I wanted to enlighten the committee on some of these things. For instance, the requirement that requires a motorcyclist to remain seated on the seat. One of the characteristics of riding a motorcycle is to rise up on the foot pegs once in a while when you hit a bump. So if he has to remain seated on the seat all the time, it would prevent him from rising up on the foot pegs. Little things like that.
I don't think that's enough to violate the statute. I think it's sitting on...
That's to me just unthinkably literal. I
yes.
Can't believe that they would prosecute for a violation of that statute.
I would hope not. Our main objection was, of course, the face shield.
I think I'd be pleased to defend that one.
And that problem's been taken care of, so... These other amendments are basically for your approval.
I'm not in favor of the second amendment. Senator Kulongoski is not in favor of the Second Amendment. Are you in favor?
Now, which one is the Second Amendment?
I'm sorry, David. This is page 52, section 116, line 31.
Yeah, but now they want two things struck here.
Yes.
They want B struck on lines 32 to 33. They want 28 and 29 struck. Those are two different issues. One is the failure to sit. The second one they want struck.
That's the Second Amendment. I
agree with Hardy that all that says is you got to have a seat on your motorcycle and sit on
that's
it most of the time.
That's the real thrust of it.
Okay, 30 through 30.
I don't think
you
need
a
necessary
seat on
your
motorcycle. Safety.
The children astride the tank is that
control machine. That's what you're sitting around.
Of course, one of the things these people do is carry their children, like Representative Davis explained.
Yes.
On the tank and pull, hang on to the children with their legs. And it's common. It happens all the time. I don't know whether a person ought to be cited for doing that.
They shouldn't.
They should.
I'm not certain. I don't think they should. But I would.
I'm going to go hard.
How do you feel about that? The rest of the committee? 3-2 against?
No. All right. We'll wait until Representative Butner returns.
I have in my notes that he opposes that proposed amendment.
I've got it in my notes. He intends to support it.
What's the day on
Okay, let's go.
approved 7:20 a.m. today.
The eye protective devices have been addressed, have been taken care of. That was our major problem.
7 and 8, what's this? Carries a person other than in a sidecar, a closed cab on a motorcycle with no footrest.
What happened to the one? What happened to the Third Amendment? Well, second, page 52, line 161, section 2. Page 52, section.
That's 1. The one about running around the traffic.
Yeah.
That's no problem when they're at dead stop.
California has a statute that says the motorcyclist can go between the lanes of traffic if traffic is stopped. It allows them to do it when traffic is at a dead stop. And this amendment was to bring Oregon law into compliance with California.
California come in compliance with Oregon. Let's keep the law the way it should be, the way it's written.
As somebody pointed out at the time Drew explained his amendments, you can still go up the side of the road. All this says is you can't go between the vehicles.
There
isn't any reason why the motorcycle is an inconvenience to go up the side of the shoulder. You can always do that.
Where they come up the lane.
Yes, this is just between the vehicles.
Okay.
Yes, I was.
Well,
I somebody could do that.
The committee will accept that amendment, Mr. Hughes.
Okay.
Okay, what's the next amendment? That
the next one
is
face shields, which has been taken care of.
Okay.
The last one is the provision that says that the handlebars are above shoulder level because of the possibility of obstruction.
Yeah, I would move we delete that. Chairman, I thought that was a bad provision.
No, I don't think that motion will be in order.
Yeah, I thought that provision was more based upon people not liking choppers than any safety provision.
Oh, you want to leave the amendment in?
What?
You want to leave the amendment in?
No, I would move that we delete the outlawing of choppers.
Well, the argument is that it blocks your peripheral vision.
We've decided that we'll not be a blast on these amendments at this point, but we've decided to take the one out, precluding them from running between lanes. Right.
Okay, I'm going to install my chopper now.
No, wait a minute. What did you say?
That's true.
He told me that.
We're saying he's not prepared.
We're just getting a consensus of how long I have to wait to adopt the amendments, is what we're doing up central. And there seemed to be general consensus that what amounts to Amendment 2, or page 52, section 116B, after vehicles, delete the period and insert, except when traffic is at a dead stop. Okay, we've all agreed that we shouldn't let them run between lanes. Is there any objection to that? Okay, now the protective devices, there's no objection to that. And the chopper thing, there's no objection to that.
To deleting the chopper?
To the amendment.
I don't want to move on that.
Well, that's fine. We don't intend to move on any of these until Representative Brennan Stoltz returns.
I've got no objection. Well, I've got an objection to letting him ride between vehicles.
That's taken out.
Okay.
I'm trying to find out...
Consensus where the...
You mean the language is retained and the amendment is rejected.
Right.
The amendment is rejected. This is what amounts to Amendment 2 is rejected.
Okay. All right. Amendment 1 was rejected. Amendment
no.
Two.
Amendment 1 was not rejected.
It
hasn't been put. Amendment 2 was rejected.
Amendment 2, there's no... Amendment 2 is outside those amendments that you've suggested. So now we're down to Amendment 1, 3, and 4. And
3 has been accepted.
3 has been adopted.
3 has been adopted, okay. So really, we're talking about Amendment 1 and 4.
I would
now move that we adopt 4.
Is there any objection to the adoption of 4?
Yeah.
We'll have to wait until Representative Brennan starts. They've both indicated their affirmative agreement on this, too. Okay, let's go to the next one. Have this. Bicyclists treating stop sign as yield sign. Bike doesn't have to stop, is that correct? Is that his amendment?
Have to treat stop sign as a yield sign.
Okay, that amendment is taken care of.
I kind of like that amendment.
Doug, did you get any communication with respect to this writing and city file thing?
We've already adopted an amendment that permits the writing to occur.
They don't stop anyway.
Mr. Chairman, you ought to call your chief clerk to work some this morning before you reject that amendment.
I think you ought to get a ticket if you run the stop sign and I hit you.
I would move the adoption of Williams.
Hey, if he runs the stop sign and you hit him, he'll get one. He'll get one for violating your right of way. If you're going along at 8 miles an hour on a bicycle, which gives you maybe 10 seconds before you get to the stop sign to see both ways. There's absolutely no reason in the world with stop and no car coming.
And nobody does it anyway.
And it's a heck of a lot more work getting your momentum up on a bicycle.
We're glad to have you with us, Mr. Shepherd. We've been waiting for nearly 2 hours now to have a member of the press come to our hearings. There was an objection that in our regular session the press was not afforded adequate opportunity to come, so we afforded the opportunity when presumably there'd be no conflicts, and we appreciate you showing us the courtesy of being here. I realize that the evening social habits of most of the members of the press preclude them from attendance at such early hearings. At least the radio press.
Hey, Dick, seriously, that is really a very good idea.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
There's another reason to support that if you're on a bicycle only going 8 miles an hour, you can stop at a much shorter distance.
You can look both ways.
You can
get plenty of time.
You can post the stop sign and block it. If there is traffic there, you'll stop.
Mr. George, do you have a comment?
Yes, my office is charged with the preparation of sign plans for the bicycle. And while there's improvement in what these gentlemen are saying about the necessity for stopping, there is an occasional need for it when you have to stop because of the critical lack of sight distance because of some obstruction. And I think that in the case of adults, probably what's being said here is all right, but I don't think that you can expect a child to make that distinction of when you have to stop and when you don't have to stop. Because of their lack of judgment of what the safe situation what isn't. And I think it's a very poor amendment myself.
I agree.
We could have a compromise here and put the basic rule in as it applies to
stop time.
Can I ask a question? Let me ask this. That notwithstanding this amendment, will bicyclists be required to obey the rules of the road?
Yes,
I can answer that by saying no, because they're not included in the definition of vehicle. It has been brought up, but they're really not subject to the rules of the road except for by specific rules.
Okay, now.
They don't come under pedestrian or motor vehicle.
Okay, so the only regulation of bicycles in the rules of the road is through section 128 here?
I differ with that. Section 130 says every person riding a bicycle on the roadway.
I'm getting there.
Okay, I'll let you go.
I got two things about bicycles when they get to me. The ones that ride the wrong way on one-way street, and do it all the time.
See,
the other ones are the ones that use no hands. Now, are both those things violations under this?
Well, what? David, see,
no.
Yes,
it absolutely drives drivers up the wall to follow some bike.
I read section 130.
Okay.
And that bothers me because now, are you telling me that in every rule of the road in which there was a bicycle, which by its terms or by its nature is applicable, that they have to obey?
Yes, I'm going to retract that statement. Heretofore, there was no applicability.
Okay. So they, in essence, that if there's any provision of Senate Bill 1 that can, by its nature, be applicable to a bicycle, they have to obey it.
Right.
So now you're coming in with Mrs. Williams' amendment, and we want to deter that, change that, because on this one situation, on stop signs, we're going to say that they don't have to.
So they're in a place, because of their nature. Just like we said, that's too thin to
be. Yeah, that's, I can't rest it on that. I guess the problem is that I wanted understood in my own mind that what you're doing is saying that they're going to obey all the rules of the road that are applicable to them, except one, and that's the stop sign.
That's what that means.
Well, I think that adds weight to the gentleman's argument about the students.
Yes.
and about the children myself. Because if you're going to tell the kids that they're going to have to obey the rules of the road just like an animal, but there's one time you don't have to do it, and that's when it comes to a stop sign, I think it's going to cause a lot of problems. And I would not be in favor of that amendment for that reason.
I want to know about going the wrong way down the street. Where is it covered?
Well, bicyclists have to adhere to the rules of the road. Motor vehicle to drive on the road.
Now, where is it? Where is it illegal that you have to use at least one hand? McCombie 5, where?
Okay.
How many members do you ride a bicycle to work?
I used to.
I have a bicycle on the
road. That's not what I'm asking. I just think that the stop sign provision, it's very easy to tell a 10-year-old kid you don't want to get run into by a 3,000-pound vehicle. And therefore, you have to understand when you come to an intersection, that vehicle has a right. It's the easiest thing in the world.
Got no problem about this at all. You asked me to give you one vote for the person, and you got it. No objection. So
you have to have that covered. Just, you know, if you're not carrying your package and you got both your hands in your pocket,
you put the amendment in.
Fine.
No, not yet. I just wanted to honor my commitment.
I guess you're right.
Okay, I don't believe that there are adequate votes at the present time to adopt this amendment.
Dick, what do you think about an amendment that would require a bicyclist to have at least one hand on the handlebars at all times?
Is there a requirement that you've got to have one hand on the steering wheel at all times?
No.
I don't see how you can apply it to bicycles.
I think it ought to be applied to bicycles. Nothing shakes up a driver more than to see some hot dog ahead of him with his hands in his back pockets, you know, wheeling down the road at about...
But on a cold morning...
You should either wear gloves or take the bus.
You know, you just put them behind the seat and they're out of the way.
I think that's a traffic hazard.
Well, it's a traffic hazard in the mind of the driver.
Well, that's where most hazards begin, Joe.
You just pull past that bus.
Yeah, and you're afraid to pass him because you think he might hit an icy patch or panic or anything. A real insult.
Well, if you can get four votes now, Dave, I'll accept your amendment.
The place to drive with no hands is in the circle on your unicycle.
You choose to make your motion?
Our votes are disappearing.
Yeah, but then we'll cover it. Because, see, this
I won't accept any of your suggestions.
If you don't have a package, your
hands,
your
pocket.
You
actually, if they agree that there would be testing, of course, that's probably right. Because you ought to put your hands, when you're back in the past, you ought to put your hands on. But if you're up on that, I'll buy yourself. The only person who's seeing that the police is parked down there, I don't think it's a hazard. You might get that by widening both.
Well, I think that will control most of this, Joe.
How many tickets have you gotten, Doug, for not observing a stop sign?
Not one. How many stop signs have you observed? What percentage of stop signs do you observe in your estimation?
What if there's right somebody?
Not very many.
Oh,
not very
we're
many.
We're going to have to adjourn.
25%.
We lack quorum.
Not that many.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
On this question of stop signs and bicycles, I might just quote a couple of facts to you on the accidents on bicycles. Did not have right of way. 29% of the driver errors last year. Driving on the wrong side of the road, 13% of the driver errors. And the next leading error in accidents on all the bicycles is disregarding a stop sign or a flashing red light. So it's the third leading violation in accidents now on all the bicycles. I'm a little bit concerned about it.
What percent?
9% of the bicycle errors involved in bicycle accidents last year.
Yeah, but how many people got ran over who stopped?
I'll vote for your bicycle amendment, Dave. If you'll vote for my provision that says when you stop at a stoplight and there's nobody coming the other way, you can run through it.
No.
Car.
No,
I mean, I'm impressed with these statistics. I think
90% of the
okay.
We've lost.
Muffling devices.
I'm not sure.
Have we adopted that amendment?
Is there an intercept? Yes, we have adopted it.
Okay.
We did adopt the muffling devices.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to hear it now because I've got people with 8 o'clock meetings.
I'm ready to go a few more minutes.
Okay, well, I appreciate all of you coming at 6 this morning, and we'll recess now into our regular 1:30 session. Proceed at 1:30.
What's the agenda on the agenda at 1:30?
I think we got 2 or 3 bills, don't we?
I'd like to get 7.
We have 5. That's scheduled.
We can do that
tomorrow.
Well, I haven't testified yet.
Committee is adjourned. Appreciate all. us, sister, east of us, you know. Our trust, that's what we're doing. You know, it's not going to be good.